Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yes, I am Julia Lauren. I sing for the Foxies.
I'm Jake Obama. I play guitar and keys for the Foxies.
I'm Rob Audley, and I play the drums for the Foxies.
Yeah.
You got your EPs, you got your singles, you got your 2021 tour with Billy Idol, you got your Nashville. I'll do it in the announcer voice. You're a power trio. You're DIY-minded. You have years of devotion. You have wild and unpredictable impulses.
Yes.
We're done now.
Truth.
Conversation over. There's absolutely...
It's finished. I can't follow that, man.
There's nothing else left except... Everything
after nothing.
I'm pretty amazed that nobody's asked us, like, I don't think anyone's ever asked me, like, what's your favorite Foxy's song?
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been asked that in an interview.
That is amazing.
I'm cool with that, though.
I'm amazed that nobody's ever asked us what we want our last meal on this earth to be.
What do you want your last meal to be?
Okay, my last meal... like it has to be a charcuterie board with a lot of salami, a lot of cheese, a lot of crostini.
Because sounds it doesn't right. really matter anymore. Because
exactly.
if it's your last
just
meal,
eat it all.
You're kind of screwed anyway.
Yeah.
Formal training.
Okay.
Who actually took like lessons to play stuff? Because I saw someone looking at my sheet music on the piano when you walked out there out of curiosity.
That's my first instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my only instrument.
Yeah,
there's a really nice Strat back there. It's a Japanese one, but I just haven't had a chance to even take lessons.
I play a Japanese jazz master. But I was mostly looking at it because it's hair, and I was a big theater kid. I did a lot of acting.
There you go. So you did have formal training.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rob?
Yeah. Jake and I both went to music school.
Where'd you go to music school?
Well, Jake went to Berkeley.
I went to Berkeley.
I learned guitar when I was 10, but I hated it. So I went to the music school of Julia's Mind.
It's good. I love Julia. I've been there. I think I've been to those schools.
I think you probably have once or twice.
I think I've
lived
there.
Many times.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's the extent.
Where did you go to?
Well, I was at a private conservatory. And then I was going to transfer to Eastman and decided let's go and do music for profession instead of just sitting in a school.
Feel that, baby.
So no one's from Boston. So were you from Phoenix originally?
So I was born in Louisville, but I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, I want to see if the two of you can even say
Louisville
it the way she said
Louisville.
It. Yeah.
I grew up thinking it was Louisville.
So many people do.
Louisville.
Oh, man. Louisville.
How it's how it's written, so...
Well, you know, we got that southern drawl, so we just say
Louisville. It's like Oregon.
Yeah.
Where are you from? I'm up from Oregon.
Oregon.
O-R-G-N.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was born there, grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then when I turned 20, moved to Bushwick, and then Phoenix.
Bushwick.
Yeah.
What year was Bushwick even close to being South Williamsburg at that point?
It was on its way. So I lived in Bushwick in 2013.
Okay.
2014.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think. Yeah. So I blow up genres. And, you know, glitter punk ain't bad.
Oh, good.
Glitter punk at least gives you a little bit of T-Rex, you know, next to Iggy. When we're sitting at the coffee shop or the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says to you, and by the way, it's usually an Uber driver, but we'll pretend it's the bar. So you're in a band.
Mm-hmm.
What do you play? What do you actually say that's not, I play glitter punk with a little touch of blah, blah, with Gwen Stefani next to blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Well, how do you get around and what do you say? What do you tell people that are human?
I think it was a radio station from Ireland that did the Blondie and Billy Idol comparison.
Did they?
Julie had been saying
I've
that.
I've been saying that for a while.
She said that a damn matter.
I could have sworn it was a radio station that we got that from. Maybe they compared us to something else. But.
Well, it's interesting because like what kind of built the veins of the Foxies is not exactly how we sound. It's just the inspiration behind it. So if somebody were to ask, so what is the Foxies? You know, I would probably play like Blondie's Hanging on the Telephone, that cover. And then honestly, probably Joy Division's Disorder, just to have that.
I like that you say that it took the pandemic to turn this into a functioning unit.
Mm-hmm. The way that I see it is like we had three years together before the pandemic happened, and 3 years of trying to figure out, one, our sound, two, what it's like to be on the road with each other, and three, how we are just as friends and as people and as artists. And when the pandemic hit, we had just signed our publishing deal with Roundhill at the time. And that, honestly, since it was a job now, we were writing every single day in Zoom, in our you know, receptive areas, whatever. And thankfully, we uncovered the sound of the Foxys, kind of what we were trying to find when the band started in the first place. So we figured out our sound, but we also figured out our strengths and our weaknesses as artists.
I like that.
Yeah, as a unit.
It kind of forced us to, like, make our own music every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, because we couldn't tour.
Because they're signing you and they paid you money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
that's
the big thing, is the not being able to play gigs.
Yeah.
It shifted the way we viewed what we did. You know, we were forced. I was forced.
Graphics.
Yeah. My whole position in this band with building sets, arranging the music for live show, was at a major halt. So
yeah, what
for
are
me,
you doing? Right.
Yeah,
what do I
so
do?
I picked up graphics and, like, started doing things instead of paying someone to do stuff that we were paying pretty good penny for.
We all got to Nashville at a time when we were really unsettled in our lives. Mm. And we found, both in our band and as individuals, we found, like, I wouldn't even say comfortable, but we found very doable musical lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that even though we're, I mean, I guess you could say maybe we're settled but unsatisfied or something. Like, we're still hungry to do stuff, but we have found a day-to-day there that really works for our band. Tour is one of those things. Writing songs, making records is another one.
It's just been a kind city to us.
Yeah.
Like, we showed up in 2016 when the pop, like, vein was popping there. And they literally just adopted us as a band. The city adopted us as a band, and because of that, like, we've just been kind of giving back to the city in that way.
For sure.
It's been like mama.
Yeah, that's why I said it was like a big answer for me too. It's like the city, it's built on music. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole sense of the city, the success of Nashville is built on music. So finding work in general, whether where you're touring with this band, like, I moved to Nashville not even wanting to be in a band. I moved down there to get hired to play. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I saw Julia, as you probably heard in interviews, I saw Julia play and I said, I need to be in that band. So totally against it. But the overall city, it just has this family atmosphere. It's just the workload, the people that are there. It's just different. It's different.
The infamous concept of co-writer. Mm-hmm. But again, what I liked was the way that you talk about it, that you use them, and these are my words, mm-hmm. that you use them for the spice. You use them to, you've got something and you say, okay, I want somebody to invade a little bit and push us a
Love
little
that.
More
yep.
and take us to a place where we know it's a great song.
Yes. I mean, we started co-writing because of the pandemic, and we tried before, you know, but when we got signed to the publishing deal, we were put with many, many different writers, and it was a lot like speed dating.
The notion that maybe a song was written by a handful of people and then worked on by a handful more and everybody wanted writer points on that, that happens too.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really do that on our songs.
I'd probably cry.
Something that is great about Nashville, at our best, I think it's like we're all here for the same thing, and that is to write the best song. And if the four of us are here and we're kind of like holding space and focused on the same thing, it doesn't matter who came up with what and who came up with how much. That song wouldn't exist if the four
exactly.
of us weren't here. Now, if someone's on Instagram for 3 hours and not working,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing.
Yeah.
But we're here to take breaks, to hold each other, to feet to the fire, mm-hmm. to come up with cool stuff, to push each other. Like, it takes a village sometimes. Sometimes it only takes one, you know.
When did you know that you knew how to write songs, that you actually understood, and, or do you?
I don't. I have such bad imposter syndrome all the time with everything I do. But I think that's a good thing in a way, because it just constantly allows me to try to be better and better and better. It's because we have this trifecta and the people that we write with. It's that because of this crew, we are able to pull the words out of me that I don't really know how to say, or the melody out of me that I don't fully know how to sing. I've been saying that, like, I'm really good at singing my emotions, but I'm horrible at speaking them because I don't, I get so flustered and I stutter a lot because of my anxiety. But, like, when it comes to writing, it's been a trial, a 3-year trial of trying to find the right things that make us all feel comfortable and make us find the right Foxy sound.
I call it a Tootsie Roll Pop. You know what a Tootsie Roll Pop is?
I love that. Oh, yes.
How many licks, dude?
So here's what the Tootsie Roll Pop is. It is sweet and crunchy and on the outside.
Yeah.
But there's a dark, gooey center.
Yes.
Mm. And the best pop songs.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is you cannot be afraid of taking chances, and you cannot be afraid of thinking you might sound dumb. You have to literally allow the visions in your head to speak.
And to admit that you might be the sexy woman on stage,
exactly,
wearing the halter top and showing stuff and all of that. But that's, if everybody tries to just embrace you for that reason, mm-hmm, it's not going to work.
That,
whether it's a relationship or somebody who's watching you.
That's the combo is the sweet spot. There has to be that contrast. Otherwise, exactly. Otherwise you're one dimensional and so are
you
your
records.
You
need to have depth. It's literally tapping into your inner child, not silencing it anymore.
What is the filter for a song by this band and not for someone else?
If you could hear it on, you know, a remake of a early 2000s rom-com that has some grit to it, honestly, that's kind of how it feels. I mean, that's kind of what we get through when we're writing songs. We kind of have that in the vision. Like, what would be on, like, a reboot of Clueless if the main character was gothic?
That is something. Really, really... Do not fool yourself into saying, I don't know what the F I'm doing. You know what you're doing. That is a really... It's one of the best answers I've ever gotten. That's really smart.
Thank you.
Because it also tells me that you know the business you're in. Mm-hmm. Your manager sent me a list of all your syncs. So when you're approaching the upcoming single, mm-hmm, and the EP that'll eventually lead to the album, which will lead back to another single, which will then lead to a B-side, what's the conversation when you're talking about where you're going next? What do you say to each other?
I mean, I think lyrically, there's like, I haven't experienced the part, we've not experienced the part of our lives that we're currently in, so it's hard to really speak on that like with a ton of clarity, but there's sort of a new coming of age that I think we're going through, and then when we're writing songs and making records, it goes through a very specific filter, which is Julia's mind and her voice. So we're talking about how we're kind of processing that stuff, and I think the
kind of more of a methodology for how to get certain things out of both of your heads into her head, back out of her head, and then you hook up all the pipes and you call a plumber.
Pretty much. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. And then the end, hope.
And then
water
the plumber goes, I don't have these parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't been made.
Who knows?
Yet.
Yeah. And then it's like a new baby. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful science experiment whenever we write.
I think also what you're going through is more universal now than it's probably, at least the way that you express it. I don't know. I'm not psychoanalyzing you, but I feel like what you're going through when we're writing these days, the way you're expressing it is more universal than I've heard it before.
It's been easier to express it now than it ever
today
has.
Today on Opening the Pandora's Box.
Yeah, right.
You ready?
Yeah.
He said, looking her straight in the eye. What are you going through?
So much. Music has always been the thing in my life that I've always been so sure about, that it has been a constant, that in my family, you know, it's just been, I know that I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. But the thing that I have never been sure about was my relationships, you know, like trying to have a romantic relationship, all of that stuff.
And as they say in Queens, oy vey.
Oy vey, yes, oy vey. And it's so crazy just growing up through these different trends and these different fads and all of this
and
stuff.
These different apps.
I was on the phone with my mom yesterday, and I was like, Mom, I think I have a thing for firemen. And she was like, what? And I was like, you know, there's Tinder, there's Farmers Only. Is there a Find Me a Fireman app? Because I would sign up.
That's because your other relationships are all about putting out fires. Thank you very much. Yeah. Playing all week.
But no, it's like it's the constant confusion of being a 20-something-year-old woman.
She's not very geographically available because she goes on tour. So yeah. You better be a volunteer fireman and be able to show up at a moment's notice.
Please and thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only fire you're putting out is the one in her heart.
Oh.
Wow. Ooh.
No, I want that thing to keep burning, baby.
Oh, well, bada bing, bada boom. Okay,
so he's stoking it?
Stoking.
This is the perfect moment for this. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Mm. And what it is two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by others in between.